tonight. Lord spoke to my heart about it, been dealing with my heart about it. Just talk on a subject, preach a little bit on a subject tonight that entitled Staying Focused. Staying Focused. I think that is, we're being plagued with instability across the board. In the pulpit and also in the pew, we're being plagued with instability. We're being plagued with unfaithfulness. We're being plagued with just a spiritual decline in numerous areas. And I think that the undermining cause of all of that is a focus issue. What you're looking at, what has your attention, what has your focus. Now, it's not that you're not focused, it's what you're focused on. Okay, everybody in here, from me through the pews, is focused on something. If we're falling, we're focusing on the wrong things. If we're on fire for God, it's because we're focusing on the right things. I believe it's a focus issue. And you can look through the Bible, and there's example on top of example on top of example of people in the Bible that encountered all kinds of trouble and trials and heartache and adversity and conflict, but yet they stayed faithful. But when you look at it, you'll discover that they stayed focused, which I believe an attribute of faith is faithfulness. Focus, staying focused. And we're going to look at that tonight if the Lord will help us just to convey that thought to you. I know I've been preaching this week down next to Maryville, a little place called Wallen, Tennessee, and I'll be back there tomorrow night. But I told the pastor, I said, I feel like I need to be at my church tonight. And he said, well, that's, of course, we'll, do whatever. And I said, well, I feel like I need to be. Do that, and the Lord has spoke my heart about us dealing with this subject of staying focused. Staying focused. And the one that I want to use just as a springboard, and I mean, I thought as I was thinking on this very subject, I was thinking of Bible character after Bible character after Bible character that would be classic examples of our subject tonight, staying focused. Amen. From Noah right on through Enoch, a lot of the patriarchs, come right into the New Testament. You find individual after individual that stayed focused. Of course, you find negative examples. You find examples where they weren't focused and they fail, Amen. David failed because he got focused on the wrong thing. No doubt. And you could find Peter. He began to sink because he was focusing on the wrong thing. He's focusing on the waves and on the winds and the storm instead of on the very Son of God. I mean, you think about that. That shows you the power of distraction. Is that right in front of Peter was the very Son of God. And he wasn't just there. He was there supernaturally. He was standing on top of the water. And that right there in itself would have been an amazing sight that would have caused Peter to have looked and looked and kept on looking and stared at that sight. Here's Jesus standing on top of the water, walking on the water. But instead of staying focused on that, and as long as he stayed focused on that, then Peter himself walked on the water. Amen. If we focus on Jesus, it will enable us to do supernatural things, enable us to do unnatural things. Amen. It's not natural for a man to walk on top of water. But when the winds and the waves began to blow and began to crash at his feet, what did he do? He turned aside and began to focus on the waves, which meant he had to pull his attention off of the Lord, had to take his focus off of the spiritual, take his focus off of the supernatural, and put it on what was natural. The waves was natural. The wind was natural. What has your focus tonight? What has my focus tonight? Is it the spiritual or is it the natural? And somewhat like we preach Sunday morning. Are we looking at the same situation like Jacob and Rachel? When Benjamin was born, Rachel said, Benoni. She was looking at the same boy, baby, and called his name Benoni, which means son of sorrow. But then Jacob looked at the same baby and said, no, we're not calling him Benoni, son of sorrow. We're calling him Benjamin, a son at my right hand. See, she was focusing on the feelings of the situation. But Jacob was focusing upon the faith of the situation. Oh, mercy. How easy it is for me to focus on the negative. Amen. And you know what I found out to be true in my own life? When I focus on the negative, whether it's the negative in people, whether it's the negative in church, whether it's the negative in a situation or a circumstance, when I focus on the negative, I am defeated. Are you listening? Every time. It's not a high percentage of the time. It's every time for this preacher. When I get negative minded, negative focused, that I live a defeated life. Amen. That's right. Anyway, the man I want to look at just as our springboard, of course we've done talked about Peter and others, but chapter 7 of Acts, here's a man by the name of Stephen, probably one of my heroes in the Word of God. Stephen, in chapter 7, we'll look at that in a minute, but in chapter 6, we find that the Bible said that Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 6, verse number 5. Again, in verse number 8 of that same chapter, the Bible said that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And so Stephen was greatly, greatly used of God. And in chapter number 7, we find Stephen preaching to the people of Israel. And what he said to them, the Bible said they were cut to the heart in verse 54. Let's begin verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. What things was he talking about? Well, you'll have to read it when you get home. But chapter number 7, Stephen preaches a historical message. Stephen goes back and he brings the history of Israel all the way through and how it was that they were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But as long as he preached a historical message, they weren't mad, because you can't argue with history. Amen. I don't know who gives our educators the right to rewrite history just because they don't like it, or they're trying to weed something out, or they're trying to keep something from this generation that's coming up in the school system. Who gives a person the right to do that? History is history, whether I like it or whether I don't like it. Amen. But, amen, that's right. But as long as he preached history, historical message, they weren't bothered. But when he started preaching the home message, like in verse 51, turn back to that verse, he said, ye stiff-necked. Long as he was talking about they and those and them, amen, the patriarchs, they weren't offended. But when he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. What was it that Stephen was doing? Look at verse 55. A powerful, powerful verse of scripture to me is verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. And that word "look" there doesn't mean a glance. That word "look" there has the implication of a gaze. In other words, a look and keep on looking. What will defeat you and what defeats me is not what we glance at, but what we gaze at. Amen. Isn't that right? And we need to beware of that. What gets our attention to the point that we look and keep on looking. Now, if you look and keep on looking at Jesus and the spiritual things, boy, what a blessing that'll be. But if you're looking at the wrong thing, and you keep on looking and you keep on looking, and it's a stare, it's a gaze, then your life will be defeated. But here's what Stephen did. And being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, which the implication of that statement there is, his looking up into heaven steadfastly was coming out of how he was living. How was he living? He was living a spirit-filled life. Amen. You say, oh, how in the world did Stephen be able to do this? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God empowered him. The Spirit of God enabled him to be able to do that. Amen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see. Boy, there's a lot of looking going on here. There's a lot of gazing and looking and seeing here in this passage. Now, you can look at it from a natural perspective. There's the critics you could be looking at. There is the stones that he got stoned with. Those things you can look at. You know that Stephen could have looked at the hurts. Stephen could have looked at those that were throwing the stones. Well, I can't believe he's throwing a stone, or I can't believe she's involved in this. He could have looked at all of those natural human things, but instead, the Spirit of God took his focus above the natural, above the earthly, above the hurts, and allow him to focus on the spiritual and the supernatural. Praise God. And we're told to be filled with the Spirit also in the book of Ephesians. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, I believe God can enable us to focus on the right things when everything else is falling apart. Amen. He said in verse 56, and behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. See, what was bothering them was what they were hearing. But what was helping Stephen was what he was seeing. Amen. That's right. Have you ever thought about verse 56, why it was that while Peter was being gnashed on with his teeth and they were you know, casting him out, and they were just treating him terribly? Have you ever wondered why he said in verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the glory of the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He wanted that crowd throwing the rocks to know that in spite of all this, I'm still focused and I'm still seeing, amen, What he was seeing was helping him, but what he was saying was for those around him. Amen? That's right. Verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. Remember me preaching on that? Kneeled down instead of knocked down. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So we find Stephen, a great, great classic example of being focused. Well, preacher, if the things that's going on in my life weren't so bad, I could stay focused. Can you tell Stephen that? Well, preacher, if I had different circumstances, or if I lived in a different location, amen. Or if I had, a different this and a different that, or if I went another church, or if I went here, or had a different wife, or a different husband, or different kids, or different parents, it'd be better. No. God, the Holy Spirit, can enable you to be focused even when your circumstances, as did Peter or Stephen, was killing you. Amen. I want to say tonight that both God and the devil knows the power of focus. Both God and the devil knows. Because God and the devil both knows that every which one has your focus, they will have your following. Because you're going to follow that which you're focusing on. Amen. Amen. You're going to live according to what you're looking at. Now, amen, you've heard me say it so much around here that you're maybe tired of hearing it, but your spirituality is your responsibility. It's not my business to watch after what you're looking at. Amen. If you're focusing on something that's taking your joy, common sense ought to tell you you're looking at the wrong thing. If you're focusing on something that's eating your spiritual drive away, taking your desires away, making church boring, then you ought to know you're looking at the wrong thing. Amen. Focus is the key to finishing. Focus is the key to faithfulness. Focus is the key to staying on fire for the Lord. Amen. Now, I know that's elementary statements, but how true that it is. Amen. Is your focus, and I already mentioned it earlier, is your focus this evening, is your focus natural or is it spiritual? Or are you looking at your situation with the eye of the flesh? Or are you looking at your situation with the eye of faith? Amen. Faith does have eyes. Thank God faith can see when it's dark. Faith can see into the future. Faith can see, praise God, even into the glory world. Stephen, by faith, through the Holy Spirit, was seeing plumb into heaven. Amen. But we need to be focused. I was preaching the one I'm preaching in this week. I talked to the pastor at Lent last night, and he was telling me that church had been in a spirit of revival for several years. I mean, ongoing spirit of revival, people being saved, worship and all that goes with it. But lately they've been going through a dry spell, and it's throwing every one of them in a tailspin, including the preacher. I didn't leave there last night till after 11 o'clock talking to the preacher. Amen. Getting used to the glory, getting used to the goodies of the spiritual life. And then when the dry time comes, a hard time comes, amen, a drought, spiritual drought comes, a spiritual famine comes. If we're not careful, we'll do just like Naomi and Abimelech. we'll pack up and head to Moab. And that preacher, I hope this don't go out, but he even said last night, he said, "Preacher, I don't know if I need to leave or not. Been there 14 years, church doing great, $70,000-something give to missions every year. But brother, when you get down and you get defeated and you get distracted, your vision gets dim and you can't see 2 inches in front of your face. I know, I've been there. You think I've been in this church 20 years, starting 21 this year, and we've not been through some hard times? When I came, it was hard times, wasn't it, Brother Brooks? 13 people in debt over their eyeballs. I mean, terrible situation. And we've been through some dry times. Brother Craig, you've been here 18 years. Have we not been experiencing dry times occasionally? Well, did it bother me? Of course. Did I think about maybe it's time for me to pull up stakes? Of course. In fact, I'll mention it maybe a little bit later, but Brother Jeter, the thing, I almost bailed out one time, and I've told this here before. I almost bailed out once before. And I was praying, because I knew, I seen that I couldn't trust my feelings. And you can't, especially if you're going through the thick of it and there's distractions everywhere in your life. And I was praying, I said, "Lord, if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might make a wrong move," and probably would. And the Lord gave me one little statement that salvaged my ministry, probably salvaged my whole ministry, and definitely salvaged my ministry here. He gave me one little statement in prayer. He said to my heart, "Discouragement is not leadership." And son, I'm telling you, bells and whistles went off in my soul, and I said, "Oh my goodness," and I've got a hold of that thing, and that stabilized me through the fire and through the storm. Do you think God has to get you defeated before he can lead you? Negative. Amen. Be leery of leadership when you're down. Nod your head like this right here. And we've all been there. We'll all be there again, Brother Jackie, more than likely. Because I know us. I know me. We'll probably be there again. Amen. Oh, but when we get to focusing on the wrong thing. See, that church, it been used to the glory for 5, 6, 7 years, ever how long it's been. And now it's not that way. I mean, they've gotten some major help. See, I didn't know a thing. I went in there on Monday night and dealt with the woman who'd lost a piece of silver, and I preached on a revival of recovery the first night. I preached that here. And I was dealing with things, I knew it. I could feel it in my soul. I was dealing with some things in the church. And the preacher was sitting on the front row and never even hardly grunted because he didn't want nobody to think, "Get them, preacher, you're on it, get them." Are you listening? But anyway, I thought about that. Shakiness and instability came in real quick. When the glory was not where it was. My soul, folks, if I left RBT every time that we had a dry spell, I wouldn't have made it long here to start with, and I would have left many, many times. I appreciate what Brother Melton said, and I'm talking about a man of God. Brother Melton preached our Jubilee, and he'd been there 35 years at Tabernacle there in China Grove. I believe it's China Grove. And he'd been there 35 years, Brother Craig, and he said they'd went through a 5-year dry spell. With his preaching, with that leadership, with all of that in the service, 5 years dry. He said, "What do you do? Just keep preaching. Just keep going to the house of God. Just be faithful. Stay focused." And here's what he said: "God will meet with you down the road somewhere." Hallelujah. Sometimes God may just pull back into the shadows to see if we'll walk by faith. If we're not careful, we'll get spoiled of the glory. I like it and you do too. Come on now. I like to come in here and shout the paint off the walls and the glory of God is so deep you can swim in it. Amen? I like that. But we'd get spoiled to that if it was like that all the time. And the truth is, probably those times it's not is our fault. More than likely. But anyway, I need to hurry. Stay focused. It's the key to finishing faithfully and staying on fire. Our focus is our stability. Our spirituality is our stability. Amen. If you're not spiritual, you are not stable. Amen. I wrote this down. Lord spoke my heart. This is all simple stuff, but the Lord wants us to zero in on this simple truth that we all know is necessary and is essential for us living the Christian life, and that's staying focused. Amen. When we're up and down, in and out, and on and off, we're not focused. Or we are focused, but not on the right things. When there's instability, it's a sight issue. We're looking at, amen. Oh yeah, thank you, Lord. The reason, what you look at determines how you live. If you live an unstable life, you're probably focusing on something that's unstable. When we was in Florida, that pastor took me and Blake out on a fishing trip. Of course, thank God the waves wasn't big. It was only like 1 or 2 foot waves, you know. Talking about what you're looking at. All that those hours that we was out there, Brother Jeter, I mean, it was like this. You know, we was fishing, you know. We weren't trying to jig. It was just happening, you know. We looked at that, those hours we was out there. That's what we looked at. That's what we saw was them waves and the moving of that ship. And you know what happened? Y'all know where I'm going. Even after I got off the ship, standing on ground, what I looked at was still having an effect on how I was living, because on the inside I was still doing this. If you're unstable, it's because you're looking at what's unstable. Amen. Amen. You can't look at what's shaky and you stay stable. Amen. If you look at those are so soon removed from Him, and those that are in and out, on and off, up and down, you know what it causes you to do? You know what we were doing when we were doing all of that right there? We were mirroring, a terrible word there, but we was a mirror of what we were looking at. Our actions was being caused by our circumstance that we were looking at. Say amen right there. Focus. Listen to this. Write this down. And I'm going to hurry up and we'll go home. The enemies of staying focused. I want to know what the enemies are. These are so simple, it's very practical. The first one is distractions. Distractions, Brother Tim, is an enemy of staying focused. Just like with Peter. He weren't focused on the Lord. And listen, Jesus wasn't just, I meant to mention this earlier, Jesus wasn't just standing on the water, Brother Mike. This was in the fourth watch of the night, and they saw Jesus coming, and they thought He was a spook or a ghost or a spirit. What does that mean? That meant to me He was glowing. He was visible even in the darkness. So here Jesus is, an object, an individual that's visible in the night, also standing on top of the water. The winds and the waves are not bothering Him. But yet, when the waves and the wind came through, Peter got distracted. He got distracted and he began to notice the wind and the waves. Now, how many times have you heard that? How many times have I heard that? But yet, we're guilty of the same thing a lot of times. Number two, Not only the enemy of distraction. Distraction. We need to be on guard about that. What distracts us and gets our mind and our focus off of what it should be. So beware of distraction. It's an enemy of focus. Number two, difficulties. Difficulties. Brother Mark Green stood right here in this pulpit teaching one Sunday morning, and he said, if it's easy, then God's probably not in it. Isn't that good? He was teaching out of a storm himself. He was teaching when the waves was reeling and rocking in his life. He was teaching there, and he said, if it's easy, then it's probably not of God. I wrote down in light of that, I wrote this down today. Spirituality is unlike sin that takes the path of least resistance. You don't have to hunt for sin. You don't have to try to get in it. It always will be in the path of least resistance. Amen. But the spiritual life is right the different of that. It is the path of opposition most of the time. Sometimes we suffer not because we're doing wrong, maybe because we're doing right. But beware of distractions. Secondly, beware of difficulties. Thirdly, beware of darkness. Darkness in the Bible is a type of sin. Amen? It's a type of sin. Darkness affects our vision. Amen? You don't have night vision. If we cut these lights out for at least a few minutes there, we wouldn't be able to see nothing. We'd have to wait till our eyes got adjusted a little bit to what light is coming in from the outside of night lights. We don't have night vision. You know why? God never intended for us to be walking and living off of what we can see in the dark. We're light people. Amen? We're children of light. How do you get darkness in your life? Walk away from the light. What's the sources of light? The scripture. The very entrance of thy word giveth light. What was that? Psalms 105. 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. You get into darkness when you get away from the word of God. And you know, listen, let me preach me a little bit here. My experience, Brother Pridmore, has been when I get focused on people, problems, pursuits, anything that is not spiritual, then my life starts following that. You're going where you're looking. You're going in the direction you're looking. Your looking is leading your living. Look at what you're looking at, and for long you'll be there. Amen. Listen, the Word of God is dark, is light. And then the Spirit of God, you know what the Spirit of God's called? Light. The Spirit of light. I know a lot of times when I get to focusing on the wrong things, you know the first two things to go out of my focus and out of my concentration, the Word of God, which is light, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Maybe this is just for me. Y'all pray for me. Darkness. The enemy of focus, distractions, difficulties, darkness. Start laying the Word of God down and not reading it. Go 2 or 3 days or a week and never pick it up. You cannot, hello, it don't matter who you are, me, anybody else, nobody can lay the book down days on end and retain a spiritual life. When Jesus preached that one message in John 6 and the whole multitude that he had just fed with the little loaves and fishes, he preached one message, a whole crowd left. Jesus looked at Peter and the rest of them and he said, will you not also go away? And what was it Peter said? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words. Did you hear that? Jesus, the reason we're not going to leave you, the reason we're not going to follow the crowd is because when we're around you, you're speaking words of eternal life. You know what Peter was saying? Jesus, your word is what's stabilizing us. Amen. Your word's what's stabilizing us. So you beware of that, amen. Not letting the Spirit of God lead you and mold you and make you what you need to be. If you'd have took in Stephen's passage here, if you'd have took the first statement out of verse 55, Stephen would have collapsed like anybody else. He would have got his eyes on the stones and the stoners. He would have got focused on the hurts. But the fact that the Bible said he was full of the Holy Spirit enabled him to see above and beyond his circumstance. So there is darkness, and then there's decline. Boy, decline is an enemy of focus. Amen? Decline. Amen? The first thoughts of decline usually is an excuse. How do you know, preacher? Do I need to answer that? I've been saved 32 years. I think I've been in the ditch a few times spiritually. And every one of them was my fault. Say amen. But listen, the decline, the first thoughts of decline are usually an excuse. If this was different, if I was somewhere else, if I was something else, if I had more of this and less of that, or whatever the case is. No, the truth is, decline is not a location problem, it's a condition problem. I've learned that. Decline is. It's when I focus on other things. Remember what we've referenced it already. Peter, when he focused on the winds and waves, what direction did he go in? Down. The Bible said he began to sink. He began to go. Where was the waves at? Down. He was going where he was looking. He was looking at the waves, and now he was going into the waves. Amen. Listen, here's another one. Lord help us. Discouragement. Discouragement is certainly an enemy of focus. And I done told you that statement the Lord gave me salvaged my ministry, no doubt, that discouragement is not leadership. Amen. And there's a lot of verses that talks about focus, that gives us insight to focus. And probably one of the, let me just mention these few here, and there's several. I mean, probably we could open the floor and we could probably come up with 10 to 15 different Bible characters that were great exhibits of focus, being focused. But the ones that stuck out to me just for the service tonight was Noah, number one. Noah. Noah stayed focused on his duty. What was his duty? To do what had not been done before. He was commissioned of God to build an ark, because it was going to rain, which it had never rained before. There was going to be a flood, which had never been a flood before. Are you listening? Noah stayed focused on his duty. God said to build an ark. I don't have to know the reasons what for and the whys. All I need to know, God said do it. And the saving of my house depends on it. And you know good and well that Noah was mocked and made fun of and criticized and laughed at. You know he had to be. As society looked at Noah doing what they thought was ridiculous. And people think you're ridiculous if you go to church and live for God and serve the Lord. The world will say, you're crazy. And they made fun of it, but you know what? He stayed focused. I like that. Boy, there's a lot of preaching right there. A second individual, write down real quick. Noah stayed focused on his duty. Daniel stayed focused on his devotion. Here's a man that was given to prayer. That's what he was known for, was his praying. And of course, the enemy come up with a plan that let's make it to where anybody that prays to any other god other than the image, the golden image, he'll be in trouble and we'll throw him in the lion's den. Because they knew if we're going to catch Daniel in anything, we're going to have to make up some kind of law that's going to be against his devotions. But you know what the Bible said that Daniel did? Listen to this right here. You don't have to turn. Let me just read it to you. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, listen to this, as he did aforetime. Their threats did not change Daniel. Daniel prayed before the threat. Daniel prayed after the threat. We need to stay focused as Noah upon our duty, doing right, serving. Amen. We need to be focused as Daniel was upon our devotion. Don't, amen. My soul, when storm clouds come, one of the first things we do is quit praying. Quit reading the Bible. Our devotions goes out the window. And then how, listen, how are we possibly going to make it spiritually and successfully through a storm when the key sources we're detached from. Amen. We need to stay faithful or focused as Noah focused on our duty. We need to be focused as Daniel upon our devotion. We need to be focused on as Stephen focused upon our dedication. Stephen remained dedicated to God through the thick of it and died that way. Amen. Problems, hurts, pressures never changed Stephen's mind on how he stood for God. Now, Paul, probably the greatest New Testament example other than Jesus Christ of focus, Paul. Paul was focused. That he might finish his course. He said, neither count I my life dear to myself, but that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry that God had given to him. He wanted to finish. He used that analogy in Philippians 3 of a runner. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Noah was focused on his duty. Daniel's focused on his devotion. Stephen was focused on his dedication. Paul stayed focused on the destiny. He said, I'm running and I'm pressing toward the mark. That's my focus. I'm looking at the finish line and not the starting line. And of course, Jesus was focused. Look at all that he went through. Look at all that he felt and encountered. He was called names, lied on, abandoned, you name it. And Jesus encountered it. But the Bible said he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Amen. He knew that the cross was involved in his life. But he said, this is the purpose for which I came. To go to Calvary. That's why he didn't stop, Brother Craig. He didn't stop when they were beating him with a cat of nine tails and plucking his beard out and spitting in his face and putting the crown of thorns in his brow and hitting him with a reed, saying, prophesy who hit you, stripping the clothes off of him. You know why he stayed true? He stayed focused. He intended on pleasing God. No matter what, he said, I want to please God. And I want to fulfill the purpose for which I came into this world. Enoch stayed faithful. Abel stayed faithful. Focused. I mean, through the Bible, focused. People focused. Probably some of you have got a favorite Bible character. More than likely. And more than likely, if you've got a favorite Bible character, it's probably someone that had some kind of positive spiritual image to you. In other words, you probably didn't pick out somebody that like Lot. I never have heard anybody say Lot was their favorite character in the Bible. Have you? Why? His whole life is a defeat. His whole life is a decline, a downhill spiral, taking his children and going to Sodom and Gomorrah. And everybody died except him and 2 daughters. Nobody ever says that about Lot. Man, he's my favorite. Wow. Man, he inspires me. No. No. You got a favorite Bible character. You pick somebody that's been through the fire and walked with God and stayed focused and finished their course. And that's what I want to do by the grace of God. And there's distractions on top of distractions. I mean, it's overwhelming to me to see a lot of my fellow brothers, fellow comrades that I started out with and preached with and preached for. And they've preached here, some of them. And now watch them one by one by one by one starting to cave in and compromise and become liberal and loose and live like they used to preach against. That bothers me. Make statements on Facebook, anti-King James statements on the Facebook. I'm talking about independent Baptist. I mean, one, if I called his name, everybody in here knows of him. He's a big name in the independent movement. And he said, God only inspired one Bible. And he gave it to the apostles and to the prophets. And it said none of the translations are inspired. Now, I don't know what you think about that. It really don't matter, but I know this. That is an attack on my foundation of my faith. Because if it's inspired, Brother Jeter, you know what that does? That puts the Bible thousands of years ago. And all we've got is sprigs and fragments, maybe, of it is all. And I made a comment there that inspiration without preservation means nothing to us. God promised to preserve His Word. And if it's not preserved in our day, then God has lied. And it is preserved. And I'll go to my grave telling and standing that on the King James Bible, amen, it is the inspired, preserved, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I make that statement boldly. I believe that. I believe that, Brother Pridmore. But when I see some of those that are so influential in our circles start making anti-King James statements, it irritates me to no end. But am I going to follow suit? Negative. When that crowd caves in, Brother Brian, and compromises, you know what it makes me want to do? Scratch me out of place. Borrow Miss Stapleton's saying, I shall not be moved. If I have to end up preaching to the hoot owls and the crows, by the grace of God, I'm going to die like I started. Amen. Hallelujah. They can all change, and that hurts. I don't joy in that, Brother Tim. They all can change. They all can turn against the King James Bible, but I want to stay focused. They can all go a liberal direction, but I, Sister Betty, want to stay focused. Amen. Amen. One of the worst things I believe could ever hit the news in our circle is that Preacher Rackley has compromised. He's preaching out of the NIV, quoting out of the ASV, and all them other V's. Amen. Yeah. When you start correcting the Bible ceases to correct you. Yeah. When the Bible's, you say the Bible's got flaws in it, then the Bible then and there stops dealing with you about your flaws. That same man, Brother Craig, that made them anti-King James statements came on there today and said it's nowhere in the Bible for a man to have long hair that it's a sin. You know what that's going, you know where that's going, don't you? His church has got some in it already, I guarantee it. Probably some money people, somebody padding his pocket a little bit. And he's compromising to make such a stupid, ignorant statement as that. I don't care how much knowledge he's got, how many degrees he's got hanging off his name. A man make a statement like that, the Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And if it's a shame, it's got to be sin. Wouldn't you think? Lord have us. But anyway, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay focused. And it's sure much easier to stay focused when you're focused. Amen. I don't want to be a distraction to you. And I sure don't want you to be a distraction to me. Amen. I want to stay true. And I want to stay faithful. Amen. I want to stay focused. Well, praise God. Hope God spoke to our hearts. Just nothing I preach tonight's new. Just God spoke to my heart about, hey, we need to just get right back there, tighten that.